Welcome to the Everyday Sniper. You got Frank from Sniper's Hide, and we're bringing you another podcast today, and we're gonna go a little deeper into the Marine Corps side of stuff. I have on the phone with me the president of the USMC Scout Sniper Association. I have Tim Parkhurst on the line. Welcome to the Everyday Sniper, Tim.
Thanks, Frank. I appreciate it. It's good to be here.
Yeah. Now, we just got together. We were just at the gathering down in Texas about a month ago, having a party down there. And so good to see you again or talk to you again.
Yeah, absolutely, man. No, it was great seeing you down there in Texas. That was a great event. I got a chance to kind of link up with a bunch of guys I hadn't seen in a while. Eric Finley's range is looking good. And Guardian Long Range is still doing great stuff with their matches. So, all was well. It was awesome.
Yeah, good time. I was down there as a victory lap for me, so it was really just a drunk fest. All I wanted to do was, you know, just get sideways a little bit and had cactus coming out of me and all kinds of crazy stuff. But playing down there. Now, how do you like, because this is actually going to go forward. Before we get too deep into like your background into that, but since we talk Guardian for a second, and we could bring this back up at the end, but they're going to start sort of being part of the gathering, right? So there's going to be another Guardian, and we're going to start having these Army Sniper Association and Marine Corps Scout Sniper Associations get together. The get-togethers are called the Gathering. And this year we did it in conjunction with Gary Larson in the Guardian events, and that's going to continue.
Yes, it is. So it's kind of, let me take you back. We'll go back a couple of years real quick for any of your listeners who aren't familiar, but the first gathering that we did was a spur of the moment thing that we kind of threw together at the last minute. And it was in 2019 when you had offered up, the opportunity to host an event for us. And we were like, oh, that's cool. You know, let's go see Frank out in Denver. But then we were like, well, we should do something special with it. And right about the same time, there were people on the Army side and Marine side that were saying, you know, we never done anything with the Army Sniper Association. You know, it would be cool if we could do like a joint thing, you know. And, maybe turn it into a grudge match eventually or something or whatever, which I got actually more to say about that. But we've never done anything together and it's like, whatever, why would we? But why not? Right. So I actually reached out to their president at the time and he said, yeah, let's do it. And there were some guys like Christopher Roberts on the Army side and a couple others that were pretty involved in helping, you know, get support on their end. And so we had the thing at your place. I think, what was it, like 65 guys showed up or something like that?
Yeah, yep.
First year, yeah. And unfortunately, I couldn't make it because I had to go to my brother's wedding in Connecticut, which was awesome, but it wasn't as awesome as the gathering
probably. Yeah, we had Jesse Fletcher here with us at the time. Which was great to see Jesse and all that. But no, we had a really good time. We had great sponsors, dinners at fancy restaurants. Drinks at the bars here that like Leopold and Applied Ballistic put like $5,000 every night on the table. And so it was really good. And then kind of bringing this to the Guardian side of things, so then you can have the match and the event as well. We had sort of a full day of sort of like classes that kind of blended. Like I had it was Roberts, me, Phil Vallejo, everybody just was like coming in and teaching classes from like 9-10 in the morning until about 4 in the afternoon.
And Rob Harvell.
Yes, Rob. That was it, right? Rob and helped me out. And
you, Paul Phillips. It was a great lineup, dude. It was a training day, you know, basically a bunch of shooting clinics all back to back. And, you know, basically, you know, this is kind of how Guardian runs it. And I'll get back to how we linked up with Guardian in a second. But basically they'll run a 2-day match. But on the front end of that, they like to try to get a training day in because, you know, this isn't like a competitive thing where everybody's going for points, you know, with the NRL or PRS or whatever. This is just, it's a practical precision rifle match, but you know, nobody's out to get points or be the winner, right? You know, so there's kind of an atmosphere of, you know, people want to help and people want to teach and everybody wants to learn and help each other out. And it's a really freaking cool environment. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. I mean, it's 'cause the first day's like just a normal one day match. And then they fold the field on the second day, and whoever you fold into, well, this is just in this case, because this is like different from one I've done. Guardian, like in Tennessee, was different from this one, but now I guess he's kind of stylizing it a little bit more like this. So we do a one-day match. Then he folds the field, and where you fold into, you do another one-day match as a team. So now you're mentoring with someone, and it's like, so Phil was first place. The guy that was last place got paired up with Phil.
And he was an old Vietnam era sniper.
Yes, he was.
Way back.
He was.
Yeah. That was really cool.
And so, yeah, you had like one of the youngest sniper kids and then the oldest guy there, and they paired up. And so then, you know, we work together, and then you have a team match. So the first day, there's an individual prize, and everybody wins their one-day match. And then the second day is a team match, and the teams win their prize. And, you know, like you said, we had a train-up on the front end, and it's all done in the spirit of learning, having fun, getting out and shooting, and then maximizing the time with the people who are actually on the range.
Yep. That's exactly right.
And then the dinner we had with you, like you guys, we had a dinner, a separate dinner the first night, but then the second night for the prizes and the sort of the ceremony, I guess, if you want to call it, we all went to an exotic game ranch.
Yep.
And had a crazy nice dinner. And that's where I got all lit up and we had fun and drinking and stuff. And yeah, but
that was Gary Larson's wife's idea. She actually, you know, when Gary told her that he was partnering with the Scout Sniper Association for this thing, she was like, oh, we got to do something special for the snipers. You know, what can we do? And I told her that, you know, we're going to do the hogs call on Friday night. And then, you know, the dinner for the whole match for all the participants on Saturday. And she was like, oh, we can host it at our place at this, that ranch that we went to. That was their Airbnb.
Yes. Right? Yes.
That's where they were staying. So, you know, that was taking a big risk for her, you know, not knowing the kind of crowd that we have, you know, and inviting them into her living space. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's super generous. But it all worked out well. Beautiful place. And you just can't ask for a better group of people. And Gary, the founder of Guardian Long Range, he really, you know, has a heart for our community. You know, he was never in the military or anything, but he loves us to death. And he wants to continue to give back. So he asked if we could keep partnering as we go forward. And so, you know, obviously, you know, we canceled the Gathering of Snipers in 2020 because of COVID. Not because of COVID, but because of schedule changes.
Of COVID, right? Yeah, exactly.
And you know, and then he kind of bailed us out because, you know, I've had, you know, nobody needs to go into all of my misery, but I've had a tough year, you know, had a surgery and, you know, moved and new job and all this other kind of stuff. And it just like stuff got away from me. Right. And I looked up and I'm like, oh crap, you know, the gathering's supposed to be coming up in October is when we had it originally scheduled. And I looked at my calendar and I'm like, dang, we're like 5 months out. This ain't going to happen. And, Eric Finley put me in touch with Gary, and Gary bailed us out and said, oh, we got the match and the training day covered. If you just want to do the hogs call and everything else, you know, and I'm like, heck yeah. So, in light of what we had tried to do in 2019, when we went to Denver to your place, all the feedback was, you know, this is great, but it can be better. And here's how. And everybody was saying, you know, let's add a professional, component to it, like a professional education component for military snipers.
Right, because I just opened up my range, and just if you brought something, you got to shoot, but we didn't have anything like you're saying, like scheduled. You know, it was like, hey, come on out, here's a range, do what you want.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, you know, it all worked out great. Everybody had a good time, but, you know, it wasn't really structured, you know?
Right.
And then for the second year, though, we had plans, man. We had a slate of speakers to come and talk at a professional sniper symposium, and we had some pretty good people on the list. I don't want to let the cat out of the bag. We're probably going to get some of the same ones for this year, but you know, because we were a little short on time for this year in December, we didn't have the symposium piece, and you know, travel is still a little bit hard for government folks. But we're hoping to, you know, because we have a date so far in advance, first weekend of November, and it's going to be at the arena training facility in Blakely, Georgia. You know, which is obviously pretty close to Benning, Bragg, Camp Lejeune, you know, just down the coast from Quantico. So a lot of guys ought to be able to get to it a lot easier. And we're definitely planning on doing the symposium piece. So this year at the gathering, you're going to have a 4-day event. You're going to have Thursday is going to be the professional symposium. We're going to roll into the shooting clinics again on Friday like we did this year. And then we're going to have the 2-day Guardian match.
Nice.
And a couple of cool things about the match, Gary and I have been talking. Not really sure. I don't know if I want to let too much out of the bag, but there's going to be the Guardian long range part of the match. And then there's probably going to be something else that's going to be something like a grudge match.
Yeah, Gary likes the you versus him and he versus that. And even though it's all fun, he plays it really, really well. Like, it's not ugly, you know what I mean? So he did, like, Phil versus me, you know, and he makes funny little memes, like, you know, like, I'm going to shoot against Phil. Like, I know I'm not going to beat Phil in a competition today, but it was like, you know, Frank's comment was, I have old underwear older than Phil, you know, and Phil's like, you know, you better renew your subscription to Geritol before you shoot the match or something like, you know, he does all these silly little, and that's Gary doing that.
Yeah. No, it's going to be good, man. So I think this year the match is going to be – there's basically going to be two separate matches happening at the same time in different parts of the facility.
Nice.
And arena is so big that you can do that. So more details are coming. Just, you know, keep an ear out for it. We'll publish details as we go along. But there's going to be the regular Guardian long-range match that anybody, any civilian, whoever can buy – entry into and participate in, but then there's going to be this grudge match that's going to be for snipers only, and it's going to be Army versus Marines, and that's all I'm going to say.
Nice. Yeah, well, I knew he was heading that way, and it's a pretty awesome thing. And like I said, honestly, if you look at and I don't know if you've been to other matches or anything, but you got to spend the weekend with us. But I mean, if you look at what Gary gives back, how much he puts.
Oh yeah, man.
Back into the event. I mean, between the food, between this, I mean, really, there's never, ever a want. I mean, there's times I'll be silly, man. I'll say something to Gary like, hey, dude, go get me a breakfast burrito. I'm hungry. You know, I didn't stop and eat. And he shows up with a breakfast burrito like 10 minutes later.
Yeah, a whole plate of them.
Right. And he's like, for your entire squad. He's like, oh, there was some over here, and here you go. But he puts back in. I mean, if you think about other matches you've been to and you know, just the ability to, for people out there listening, not only is Gary donating, and I don't know the numbers, I'm sorry, I'm spaced. Like I said, I was drinking more than anything, but wasn't it something like $18,000 that went to that charity or something?
Yeah. So there was a local charity there in Texas, where the match was held that, somewhere around the order of 18,000 or something. I don't know.
I don't know. Let's call it 12,000. Let's say, but whatever it was. But so here's the match. Gary has the match down there. He's raising money from the competitors. He's doing his stuff. He sells his shirt, you know, because you're supporting all this stuff. Meanwhile, there's no want for anything, right? So he's got it all hooked up where, you know, he's not cutting corners at the event. But then...
Yeah, no, the event was fantastic.
Right, then you got dinner at an exotic farm that you don't pay for. You just show up and you got dinner. And you're at Exotic Farm. Then you got the trophy.
It's an exotic game farm.
Right.
People wondering what an exotic farm looks like.
Yeah, weird African animals that you could shoot. Yeah. You can basically... spend 10 grand and go shoot an African animal, but you can go look at it anyway. So he does that. He does all these things on the entry fee. And he's giving back, and he's still able to manage all these things. So think about when you're out there and you see these big, giant events. You see these series out there, and I'm talking to the people like out there listening. What do those people do in return for you? When you look at Geary, Geary's all about the shooter, the match director, the competitor. It's hospitality. And it's not like, why aren't you happy to be here? You know what I mean? It's like you should be kissing Geary's butt for him doing this for you. Instead, it's like Geary fawning over you. You're the client.
Well, he's coming from a place of service, right? And he's for him, it's all, you know, the whole mission of Guardian Long Range, it's all about the kids, right?
Yeah.
You know, they're raising money for foster kids because that's the background he came from, and he's got a real heart for that. And you know, it's easy to forget because you're at this match and this training event and all this stuff that has to do with shooting. And it's easy to forget that, hey, this guy's not a professional match director. That's not what he set out to do. He set out to help the kids. But in the process, the mechanism that he's using to do that is these really cool matches that he runs.
Yeah.
And he runs them so, so well. And, you know, he just has a heart to give, and he's given to the association. He's given to the shooting community at large. He gives to all the participants that show up at his events. The guy just gives, you know, and so does his wife and family that, you know, they're all out there, you know, helping and, you know, lending a hand, doing whatever needs to be done to make sure that everybody has a great experience. I've never had such a good time at an event like that. It was amazing.
Yeah. So just when you're thinking with your money and stuff out there, think about Geary and what he's doing, because it's the real deal. And it's not just talk. It's not smoke and mirrors. It's actually putting into practice what everybody else talks about. Now, enough of Geary. And let's talk the Scout Sniper Association. Let's go into why we actually made the phone call to talk to each other.
Yeah.
And we'll do new business now. New business with the association. So, Tim, give everybody a little background on you, your Marine Corps. Just you don't have to go tit for tat, but how basically let them know how you became the president of the Scout Sniper Association.
Yeah, well, that was an accident. I don't know if it was a happy accident or not, but I didn't set out to be. Bottom line is, you know, I did about 20, almost 26 years in the Marine Corps. When I first got started off, way back in the day, I was a grunt. I was with 3-5, and I was fortunate enough to get a chance to take the stay-in doc when we were on a deployment in Okinawa back in 1990. And then I went to school there at Camp Pendleton Division Schools, and graduated the course Class 3 TAC 91. And so, you know, I served as a team leader and then the chief scout at 3-5. Had a great time, went to Desert Storm, did that whole thing, whatever. And then I got out in early 93, and I was out of the Marine Corps for 5 years. And when I came back, they wouldn't let me play with guns anymore, so they made me a parachute rigger. So I'm like about as far away from, you know, being a sniper as you can get.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
In the logistics community. And so I did that for the remainder of my career, finished up as a master sergeant, 26 years. I was on the East Coast at Lejeune, running a paraloft for MARSOC when I retired in 2014. And so I'm still here in North Carolina. You know, I've been a member of the Scout Sniper Association since, 2004, something like that. Been a little while. You know, I remember back in the day, there were years where we just literally went for years, never heard anything the association. And, you know, part of that, it was my fault for, you know, I'm on the move as a Marine, always going place to place and getting new email address, whatever. But, you know, before email even was a thing, and just not updating my contact info. And so that's partly on me. But then later, as email became more prevalent and, you know, social media and all that, it's like, how come I'm not hearing anything, you know? And I just happened to be at SHOT Show in 2017 and came upon an annual meeting at SHOT Show, and I'm like, holy crap, that's my association, you know.
So was 17 the Josaphat one where he dropped the mic?
That was a good one, man.
That was like, wait a minute, I gotta go get food and sit down before you guys do this some more, because it was really entertaining.
Yeah. So it's funny because I actually met him right before that, and I didn't know anybody else there. And I was talking to him outside, and when we went in, because they said the meeting's about to start, I sat down next to him in the back. And then, of course, he did his mic drop, you know. And
he was spun up, too. It was great.
Yeah. Well, you know, hey, listen. So here's – I'm going to tell you something. From the current president, guy that's been on the board now for about 3 years – well, 4 years – I'm going to tell you, he was right. Not about everything, but he was right.
Big picture. We needed to change. Yeah.
Yeah. To be called out. You know, I can't say that, you know, that was necessarily the best or most productive way to do it, but you know, but he was right. And it got me thinking, and some of the issues that he brought up are things that I made a point to address before I even took the job on the board. You know, when they offered me a board position in 2018, I was like, well, what about this one thing, this Knucks for Life thing? Well, that was an issue. There was disagreements about what was supposed to happen with this money, blah, 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 whatever. You know, I don't want to get into all the detail, but bottom line is I'm like, look, if we're not going to pay that money back, I'm not coming on the board. So we paid the money back. I mean, what else are we going to do?
Right, right.
You know, you can't undo what was done, but you can fix it the best you can, right? And so that's what we did. So by the end of that year, the money was all paid back, you know. And there's some other things that I've, you know, worked on behind the scenes to try to help, you know, smooth some feathers and make the best of, you know, maybe some things that were done wrong in the past. And I'll be honest with you, man. There were things that were done wrong. I can tell you right now, and I'm not going to give details, but there was a Gold Star father who was disrespected because he was in communications with people on the board, and there was a time where he asked a question about, hey, is this support going to be forthcoming or not? And the communication just stopped.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Right. I was never into the backside of the association. So yeah. I didn't even know, but yeah, honestly, yeah. The reason that I did the gathering is because of that and Josaphat, yeah. Because he was basically at that point, he turned around in the community and he was like, well, what are you guys doing? And, you know, he pointed the finger back at everybody. And it was like, well, if you want to do something, here I am. And I'll volunteer my time in location. And then that's when, you know, things started to go into motion. He basically spun the ball back up. And then you saw things start to happen again.
Yeah, he was kind of the impetus for a lot of people doing things and taking action on some things. And that's awesome, man. I mean, yeah. we need more of that. There's been mistakes in the past. You know, some of these things that happened, they happened a long time ago. They happened before I came on the board. You know, and maybe some things have happened since I've been here. I don't know, but you know, you gotta try and you gotta do what you can do. And, you can only do as much as, you know, the people that you work with are willing to help you do.
Right.
Know?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you can't be a one man show, you know, and everybody's gotta do their part. It's one thing to, you know, to raise questions about, you know, what might've happened this, you know, with this or that or the other thing, but you know, somebody's gotta pick up the pieces and start over. And the SSA is doing fine. The SSA is not dead. You know, the SSA is not irrelevant. And, you know, the SSA is, doing good things. You know, there's Marines that have, you know, reached out to us and over the past years for, you know, support through our Scout Sniper support program and gotten various types of support from us. There's a couple of units, even with the war winding down, you know, that we've supported over the past couple of years, you know, things like that. And then, of course, you know, trying to do things to get guys, you know, more involved within the community, doing things like the gathering, you know. Trying to host Hogs calls, that's been tough with COVID. Nobody's really wanting to do them much.
Right, right.
You know, more like, well, I'll just come over to your house and we'll drink beer, you know, but rather than doing a Hogs call. But we're still offering to do it. We're still funding them to the tune of, you know, if you want to host a Hogs call in your neighborhood, you know, we'll give you up to $1,500 to help cover the costs and stuff. And,
there you know, go. So if you got a bunch of guys, you know, you've been going to the range and doing stuff, have a night out. Even if it's like a Marine Corps birthday or something, and get a bankroll, have a Marine Corps birthday for the Scout Sniper guys, and you can do a Hogs call in your local area. You know, there's a
exactly
get creative.
Yeah. 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 And you know, I'll be honest with you. And this is, so we just had an election for the board. We just brought on 6 new board members. And one of the things that I told them in my annual report to the board was that probably our greatest challenge and the thing that we do the least well in the association, not just internally, but externally as well, is communicate. Like communicating with our membership, communicating with the public about what we're up to, you know, but also communicating amongst ourselves on the board, you know, and things like that. So communication has always been a challenge. And, you know, I can go back through the records and see where, you know, a breakdown in communication caused this problem or that problem. And I know I struggle with it myself, you know, especially when I'm in the weeds. You know, I work a full-time job, you know, and I got a wife and kids, and, you know, I got a personal life, and I've got my own medical challenges and things like that that have cropped up over the past couple of years. And you know, they're all good excuses, you know. But, you know, once you've stepped into the role and you said you're going to do it, and then life hits you, it's like, well.
Yeah, too late, right?
Life hits, right?
Exactly.
You can't go back and find somebody spur of the moment to take your place. You know, you just have to gut it out and do the work. And, you know, the guys that have been on the board since I came on 3 years ago have done a great job. Or 4 years ago, I should say. You know, some of them have stuck with me this whole time. They kind of extended their period on the board to allow for a little longer, a little more continuity and stuff like that, so that we could not lose the corporate knowledge and stuff like that.
It's been working better. We're doing more. You know what I mean? There's more interaction, yeah. Even between the loss. Like, I didn't go to SHOT Show this year, so I don't even know if Recon Sniper had the Wednesday night parties, because I didn't go.
There was nothing formal.
Nothing.
You know, but there were guys that showed up there at the Leatherneck Club and had a good time. I wasn't there either, but we had 4 of our board members who were at SHOT and working the floor.
Right, right. And, you know, so that there's all you see a lot more happening, so it's definitely worth getting involved. It's definitely worth coming up. And, you know, even with some of the tools we have, whether it's the Facebook page or some of the other, we are able to kind of talk a little bit better than it used to be in the past. Because you're right. I mean, I'm a plank owner of the association. Yeah. I'm Combat Life member 48. Yeah. Whatever that means. You know, there's like this whole blah, 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 blah. And it's so my number, yes, it means I'm old. My member number is number 48. You know, so it's like one of those deals. But, you know, you guys are doing so much. And one of the reasons we want to talk is what you had down at the Guardian as well, because this all ties into what the Guardian stuff is. We're 0317, March 17th day, you know, because the Marine Corps changed the MOS from 8541 to 0317.
And that's a good thing, you know, because I think there's no real date that coincides with 8541,
nah.
Right? So, where it works better with 0317.
Yeah, for sure. So what's going on with that is that the association does a raffle. And over the years, we've had some really kick-ass rifles and stuff, but this year is actually a really nice, nice piece of history. And so one of the things, you guys can go online, go on Sniper's Hide. I took some pictures of it, and we can put some stuff up. But one of the things for this raffle that we're doing for March 17th that you guys can get in on is winning a USMC or Model 70 Winchester sniper rifle, Unirtle, period, all correct, Vietnam. Tell him, Tim. I have no clue. Yeah. You know what I mean? There's a lot. Man. It's like from
no, it's freaking awesome, dude. It's you know, so there's a lot of guys that like the M40s. I'll be honest with you, the M40A1, that's what I carried. I love it. It's the best rifle on the planet, if you ask me. But some of these other historical guns are really freaking ridiculously cool. And, you know, last year we raffled off an M40, a Vietnam era M40 that was made out of takeoff parts. So all the components of this thing were original takeoff parts that actually were on sniper rifles that were used in Vietnam. Right. But, this year, what we've got is a Winchester. It's going back in time just a little bit further to before the M40 was even developed. You know, that came out in 1966. And in Vietnam, prior to the Remington Model 700 and, you know, the Marine Corps M40 coming out in 66, what the Marines were using was the Winchester Model 70, which is a 30-06 rifle. And the way that whole thing came, there's a long history of these things. The Marine Corps bought like 373 of them or something like that in 1942, right? And so this goes all the way back to the World War II era. And at that time, they bought, you know, some of them were to be used for like base special services or MWR, we call it today, where, you know, guys could go check out a rifle and go shoot on the range on a weekend or something. And some of them went to Quantico and were used as competition rifles for the U.S. Marine Corps shooting teams. And so they basically initially were made into two different variants. You had the original Sporter variety that's just like it's off the shelf, looks like a deer rifle, right? You know, with the slim Sporter stock, you know, walnut stock, and then a real light profile barrel and all that kind of stuff. And then you had the competition ones that went up to the RTE shop at Quantico. And those were all refit with a marksman style target stock that had the wide foregrip and the mounting rail for like a hand stop, you know, for sling shooting and stuff. And then they put a new barrel on it. They used Douglas heavy contour match barrels, and the RTE shop cut and chambered those and installed them. And so those are the two different kinds of Model 70s that you had floating around the Marine Corps. And those were out there, you know, from 1942, you know, all the way on up, you know, through the Vietnam era. And some of them were actually used in Korea, believe it or not, not a whole lot. We don't really know much about that. But what we do know is when Vietnam rolled around, there were probably maybe a couple dozen Winchester Model 70s from the Marine Corps that went to Vietnam. We don't have an exact number, and we don't know how many of which type, but probably a couple dozen total, right?
Right. They were never an issue gun, so people should realize this is not an issued gun. This was not, the Marine Corps didn't use Winchester Model 70s. The Marine Corps just owned Winchester Model 70s that got pressed into service.
That's exactly right. Yep. Yeah. So this was not like a program of record. This was not a programmatic sniper rifle. This was just a gun that, you know, back in the day, Captain Van Orden, who became a general, he was in charge of the ordnance board or whatever at some point. He had recommended the use of the Winchester Model 70 and the Unertal sniper scope way back in the day. And then, you know, all these years later, guess what the Marines are asking for in Vietnam is the Winchester Model 70s with the Unertal scope. And these Unertal scopes, they actually have an interesting history too, because they're about as old as the Winchesters, because they were bought to put on 03 Springfield rifles to convert them to sniper rifles, right?
Yep.
And those were used in World War II and Korea. And then, you know, when they decided to start sending some of these Winchester Model 70s to Vietnam, they got a bunch of those scopes and put them on the Model 70s. And so that's what you ended up having. The serial number range for these guns is between about 41,000 and 50,000-ish for the serial number. And the serial number for Carlos Hathcock's rifle, let's see if I can remember what it was. Our rifle is only 500-something digits off from the
Hathcock rifle one.
Carlos Hathcock carried.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's like, even though all the other components, the scope, the mounts, the barrel, the stock, everything on that rifle is original takeoff from a rifle that saw action in Vietnam, except for the action, you know, the bolt action, because those were cut up, you know, when they came back from Vietnam. And but this one is the same year and within the same serial number range as all the Marine Corps rifles.
There you go.
So It's about as close to the real thing as you're ever going to get. Nobody's really even sure how many actual Model 70 Winchester sniper rifles that were used in Vietnam still exist, but it's estimated that there's maybe five or six that are out there, and that includes the ones that are in museums, like the NRA National Firearms Museum, stuff like that. They probably have one, and maybe the Marine Corps has got one somewhere. I don't even think there's one at the PWS anymore. I don't think there is. In any case, there's no known example that we know of a rifle built off takeoff parts like what we've got.
Yeah, and the 30-06 Winchester. So there you go, guys.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what we're raising money for the raffle. Just to do for the to support the association and all the good work they do, and you get a chance to get a little tiny pieces of history all put together and made into a kick-ass friggin', you know, cocktail party piece.
Well, and the thing's a shooter too. So the guy that built it is an active duty staff sergeant, 2112 armor, and he was given permission by the CEO of Weapons Training Battalion to build this gun for us on his own time. But, Staff Sergeant Jake Myers built this thing, and he had it test-fired at the test shed there at Quantico. And it held a minute and a half with old vintage ammo just right off the bat.
Nice.
You know? So it's not even a bad shooter. But for $10 a ticket, you know, you can get bulk discounts. You get 15 tickets for $100, 8 tickets for $60. 3 tickets for $25. So yeah. And the only place you can get tickets for this raffle is on our website at scoutsniper.org/shop.
And I'll put links in the Podbean app, and they'll be over on Sniper's Hide. We have an everyday sniper section in the forum over there if you want to go into the forum and look at all that stuff. But I mean, everybody was just oohing and on because they had it down at the Guardian. And we had it out both nights for dinner and stuff, and it was just it was definitely a centerpiece, you know, object. However you want to describe it, it's a fireworks kind of event where everybody's just oohing and on.
Yeah, whoever ends up winning this, they're going to have a showpiece for sure,
big time.
It's going to be a one of a kind centerpiece to their collection.
And if you win it. And then you have like one of those wives or something, you probably could buy her a new house freaking selling it or something, you know?
Yeah. So the guy that donated all the parts to build this, he's a member of the association, Ryan Niederman, and he is super generous guy, right? And, you know, he was having it built, and Jake was building it and getting it ready, and we were, you know, trying to get it done in time to send it down to the gathering and all that. And when Jake sent pictures to me and Ryan of, you know, the initial build, you know, when he first got the barrel on the action, got it put in the stock and all that, Ryan realized that you know, he had given up some of his choice components that you know, he was like, I can I have it back? And I was like, well, yeah, you can. And then he was like, yeah, I'm joking. But man, you could tell he really wanted it back. You know, it was kind of funny because, you know, he wasn't going to do that. But
Right. Well, it'd be like a guy having one of those old cars in the backyard for like 20 years. And then somebody says buys it and then brings it by after. And it's this fucking gorgeous thing.
After it's been restored.
Yeah, exactly. And you're like, oh, man, look what I could have done. Yeah.
He had seller's regret for sure.
Yeah, I bet. But anyway. No, that's pretty awesome, man. And it is good. Like I said, we try to, you know, do as much as you can. And it's just a phenomenal rifle. I think you guys would really be a big part of it.
Yeah. So, you know, you say the raffle is about this rifle. It's not. It's this raffle is about supporting our association, and our association is our members. I just want to say this, you know, to whoever's out there listening, whether you're a member of the Scout Sniper Association or not, you know, because we're a very small community. You know, Marine Corps Scout Snipers, there just aren't that many of us, you know, And this, we're the only nonprofit membership organization for Marine Corps Scout Snipers anywhere on the planet, right? And, you know, so we need, you know, we can't just support ourselves, although we do. And we don't like to ask for help, but, you know, we owe our membership, you know, to be able to help them out with the things that they require, the things that they need when they need it. And that's what this is all about. When you buy a ticket for this raffle, you're supporting our mission, right? Our mission is to support the Scout Sniper community through programs that inspire brotherhood, encourage professionalism, and foster resiliency. You know, and that's, yep, that sounds kind of broad and vague, but it's purposely so, because we don't want to pigeonhole ourselves into something where, you know, by our mission statement, all we're allowed to do is X, Y, and Z. We want to be able to do whatever it is that our members require us to do to support them, you know?
Yep.
And if that means some kind of transition program, then that's what we'll do. If that means, you know, a Scout Sniper support program where we give grants to guys in, you know, during times of need and financial hardship, then that's what we do. If that means supporting active duty units that don't have the equipment that they need, then that's what we do. If that means running events where guys can get together and reconnect with their brothers, you know, again, that's what we do. So, you know, we don't want to pigeonhole. Oh, ha, change of topic. I'm kind of like a dog with a squirrel.
Mm-hmm. Right? Oh, well, that's me. So yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So quick change of topic again, on the events, right? So we've been doing these hogs calls for some time. When do you know when the last time we did an actual reunion was, like a formal reunion?
No, because I haven't. There was one, I thought, but I don't remember when, and I know, I'm pretty sure I didn't go.
You know what? I don't either. And I think it was like 2014, 15, something like that, maybe even longer ago. All right. I know I went to one back in 2005 up in D.C. That the association held, and it was great. You know, we had a formal dinner one night where everybody dressed up, and we had a chance to go see the parade at 8th and I, and tour the monuments and do different stuff like that. It was cool. But that's the kind of, you know, like a formal reunion. It's one of those kind of things where you can bring your wife or significant other with you, and, you know, let her dress up and show her off and all that, but still have time, you know, to hang out with your bros, right?
Yep. It,
as opposed to a hogs call, which is just us, you know, and it's usually a lot more informal and things like that. Well, we're not getting rid of hogs calls. We still want members to reach out to us to host hogs calls, because we're doing those, right? But we're also bringing back the reunion. We're shooting for an actual reunion in 2023.
Okay.
So put it on the schedule. Don't have a month yet. Don't have a place. We're working on it.
I'm going to tell you, though, you burst my bubble a few seconds ago.
Why?
When you said how few Marine Corps snipers there are, I thought they did sniper training in boot camp, because I meet so many snipers that out there. You know, I'm like, oh, you're a Marine sniper too? Yeah. And so I thought they did it in boot camp or something. You know, I thought maybe it was like a West Coast boot camp thing, and I missed it on the East Coast.
Easy. Yeah, no, man. So, you know, check it out. You know, we're a membership organization, right? We got membership criteria, you know, and if you're not one of us, you don't get to join. It's just, sorry, but that's kind of the way it is, right? You know, you can support us all you want, but you're not going to be one of us, you know? And we still, to this day, get applications from people who, you know, I'm at a loss to explain how this even happens. We could make a whole nother podcast on the Stolen Valor thing.
Oh yeah. But, yeah.
But it's amazing. So yeah, some of the applications I see, it's like, really? I think I'm going to answer this one personally. Right. And yeah, there's been a couple where it's like, dude, you need to just freaking take a hike off a short pier, you know?
But, well, honestly though, before you guys, I used to get accused of it. Like when I first started Sniper's Hide,
you know, you're not tall enough to be a Marine. You never would have the height regulations.
I made it by a half inch.
So you say.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You know where I didn't make it, but then they kind of got me around it, was the weight. I was underweight, But when I went into MEPS, they basically got me a dozen donuts, and then I had to sit at the water fountain for half the day. And then I made it by a half an inch and 1 pound.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Yeah, it was effort to get me in.
You know what you do is you go stand out in the rain, get your clothes wet. You go in there and get on the scale with wet skivvies.
They basically camped me out on the first floor, and they said, you don't move from this water fountain until we come get you, and you better be drinking. And that was driving in with the donuts, and I was supposed to eat all the donuts on the way in. And all that stuff. But I had one question, because you were a parachute guy. Because it's there, it's not. Is Anglico still a thing?
So when I retired, you know, it's been a while since I retired, 2014, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when I at the time that I retired, active duty Anglico was a thing of the past.
Okay, that's what I thought, because I know it came
still,
and went.
They still had the reserve Anglicos still, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what they got now. I mean, man, our current commandant, he's been changing so much stuff. I don't even know if they're going to have infantry battalions here in a little bit.
Well, it's funny, because like when I was in, we had Anglico. And, you know, so we had battalion recon too. And you'd have like the battalion recon guys would be there. You'd have the force recon guys would be there. And you'd have like two Anglico guys, but then you never saw them again. And you never knew what they did, because they like vanished. And it was like, you knew what the recon guys were doing, and you saw them, and they always went and did their job. But then it was like, well, what the Anglico guys do? And it's like, well, they're not.
They make t-shirts.
Right, they do. They make great t-shirts. They had the double folded ones, the yellow and the Navy SEAL shirts, where you had the two t-shirts folded together.
Yeah.
Because the Anglicos were the green, the blue and the yellow, like the SEALs, and then the Force Recons were the Kelly green and yellow, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
But there was back in the day, it was the 80s, you know, where guys used to layer their polo shirts.
That was all the rage.
Right,
I never
right.
did that, by the way.
I didn't either.
I was not a cool kid in the 80s.
No, I was Timberland boots, so I wasn't wearing polos as much. But they had the double t-shirts that were kind of reversible almost, and everybody at the time had these double t-shirts. And I kind of remembered that, but I remember Anglico had theirs, and Anglico always looked good, and then they had the dual cool all the time, but then never saw them. They never worked.
Well, you know what they're supposed to do, right?
Yeah, right, Air Naval Gunfire Liaison.
Yeah, so they were supposed to go to other service units, like the Army, or to other friendly forces, like NATO forces or whatever that were partnered with. And they're supposed to be the Air Naval Gunfire Liaisons for those kind of units. So they're not supposed to serve with Marines.
Oh, is that what it is? I was going to say, because I know how to call in artillery. I don't need him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that was the whole thing. They're not supposed to be working in a Marine Corps unit. They're supposed to be working in other, you know, like sister service units.
Got it.
Like
so and when those sister service units didn't exist because we were by ourselves and they don't have to do nothing. I get it.
Yeah, yeah. That's it.
That's funny. Cool, man. So, all right, because I'm getting you on the hour up here, Tim. What else do we have going on that you want to tell everybody? Because you got the gatherings with the Guardian events.
You got the
Scout Sniper Association website where you can shop and buy stuff. You even can get your Scout Sniper Association panties. The black panties. I got a set. You laughed at me when I bought them. You're like, you were wondering. You even wrote me. You were like, I was wondering who's going to buy these.
Yeah, well, we still have some UDT shorts, I think, too.
I got a set of those. Yep, I grabbed a set of the UDT. But you had actually made a note because I had ordered some stuff off of there. And you were like, I was wondering who's going to buy these, and it's you. And
yep.
But
you know, somebody's got to wear the silkies.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Whatever.
We'll put them on the girl over here. Make her wear them.
There you go. That's it.
that's what I'm doing. Points. Yes.
We got flags. We got stickers. We got all the apparel, hats, t-shirts, you know, polos, whatever you want. But be looking for some more cool stuff. We're looking to kind of revamp some of the graphic designs on t-shirts and things like that. Come up with some different things besides just the plain old logo on the left breast or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So be looking here in the next few months for maybe some different things like that. We're looking to bring out some partnerships with other companies that are offering member-only discounts. Those things have like come and gone over the years. You know, that's something that every you know set of board directors in the association's history has tried to do things like that at different times. And you know, there's companies that have always offered it, but to be able to put together a package of, you know, like a whole sheet of paper or whatever that we can send out to our members and say, yeah, all these companies will offer you this discount.
Nice.
You know, just use our code or whatever. You know, stuff like that. I don't know if you saw it, but we have a website or a page on our website now for sniper-owned businesses. And, you know, so we figure if you're out there, you know, doing the do and trying to, trying to create something or do something on your own, you know, instead of working for the man, you know, do your own thing. You know, we want to support you in the effort. And, you know, so we've got, you know, logos and names and links to sniper-owned businesses. I know it's incomplete, but I don't know what I don't know. So if you got a business or you know somebody that's got a business that needs to be on there, let us know.
There you go.
Get us up on the contact page on the website.
Awesome.
And something else, and I'll throw this out there publicly since we still got a minute. We have been challenged for years to properly memorialize our fallen on our website, right? We've got a memorial webpage, right, on our site. I know it's not complete, and you know, I don't know who I don't know, right? And you don't know who you don't know, and it goes on. But if you're a member or if you're in the Scout Sniper community, and you know that there's somebody that should be on that memorial page and he's not, please let us know, because we want to add him on there. We want to make sure that that page is correct. We want to make sure that it's complete, and we're revamping it. Also, we actually just recently hired somebody to, because the backside of our website is fairly old, and we're going to rebuild it from the ground up on a new backbone. So. More secure and all that kind of stuff.
Nice.
And yeah, so we got a lot of things in the works.
Well, and I want to put out too, for some, if you're out there and you're part of the community and you want, and you can't do a full year or a full this, or if you can offer up a little bit of time. I mean, Tim was supposed to be out of here. He wasn't supposed to be president right now.
Yeah, I never did exactly explain how that all came to be.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So it's yeah. Tough to get people to volunteer. It's a tough kind of gig. But if you can offer a little bit of help, if you know we got events coming up, even if it's something small, man, reach out to the association. There's the Facebook page. You can get in on that. And it's easy to kind of coordinate stuff through the Facebook page to yeah. Basically say, hey, I have this ability to do this. Who needs help? Or something to that effect. Yeah. And then it all pays back, man. I will say that any kind of outreach you do usually circles back around and pays you back in some way.
It does. You know, and to our community's credit, there are quite a few guys out there that are giving of their time.
Yeah.
You know, obviously you're one of them. You know, Phil Vallejo is you know, an awesome leader in the community out there teaching the craft.
I think, you know what, Tim, guys. I have a funny feeling Phil's just trying to pick up girls now.
I think that, yeah, you may be right, but I
no, he's
no, man. But I mean, there's so many, I mean, yeah. It's hard to list them all, but there are guys who are volunteering on the association's behalf too, that whose names you may never hear, you know, Luke Hamilton, you know, Tristan Wimmer, is doing this thing now in honor of his brother, who took his own life. It's called 22 Jumps. Check that out. If you're interested in base jumping and you're interested in helping reduce veteran suicide and you want to support one of our own, Tristan Wimmer, 22 Jumps, Google it, look it up. And, you know, the Scout Sniper Association is looking for ways to continue to help that effort. I know there's some other guys.
Yeah, like Kellner from the Army side. Tim Kellner, I think, is Mission 22, possibly. I know if Tim had something to do with, I don't know his official status,
But yeah, no, that's right. He was doing that when
yeah, Mission 22. So I know with the veteran suicide is huge, and so there are guys within our community and within the Army community. I mean, you got Roberts Rance, yeah. You got Kellner, all those guys are all over that place on the Army side of things. So you know, definitely.
You know, and there's certain things that, you know, an association like ours, you know, we can't do everything, and we're not supposed to do everything. You know, we shouldn't try to duplicate the efforts of other good organizations that are already doing something good. You know, what we can do is we can lift up the ones that are doing it right, you know, and we, you know, we can kind of form a coalition, formal or informal, of nonprofits like us. And, you know, they all offer something else, you know, some other tool for the fight, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And so what was that? Warriors, what was that? Warriors Ranch. The guy that spoke there at the Guardian Long Range in Texas.
Oh, you can't ask me anything, dude. I don't remember what day it was.
Yeah, I know. You were three sheets to the wind.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, we're gonna put more information out about some of these other organizations that do specific things like clinical counseling.
Yeah. Yeah. No, for sure. There's definitely
residential clinical counseling on a ranch in Texas.
No, but right? Don't underestimate just the minor calls, the minor that, you know, even the small. Jesse Fletcher is great with that, too. He'll throw a call out there. There's guys that'll call you up. Hey, man, how you doing? I haven't talked to you in a while. That helps with your buddies and stuff out there. If you know, especially now with all the bullshit they're making us do, you know, it's like we're under thumb. And some people don't do well under thumb. And so if you know somebody who doesn't do well that way and under these conditions, give them a call, man. Just say hi. It doesn't take a whole lot. Just say hi. Like I talked to my buddy Craig Garpy, who I was in with to, you know, 1-2 with not too long ago. Hey, Craig, how you doing? That kind of stuff. And, you know, there's people out there that, hey, man, a phone call around this time of year might be all they need.
Yeah, absolutely. That's it, man. It's about, you know, staying in touch and just being there.
Yeah.
You know, showing up. That's all it's about.
There you go. Well, Tim, I sincerely appreciate you coming on. It flowed real nice. We had a great conversation. It was fun.
Yeah.
And so go to the Scout Sniper Association. Look up at that Winchester Model 70. It's gorgeous. Your nerdle all ready to go. Just out there, the Guardian stuff, the gatherings. These are all things that. It's the community helping the community, right? We're all working together for a common goal, and so that's why we're just putting it out there for everybody.
Yep, so, absolutely.
Thanks.
Well, Frank, thanks for having me on, man. I really appreciate it, and as always, it's good talking to you.
Yo, thank you, and I really appreciated your reign as president. I think you did an excellent job, and I'll put that out there in the public for everybody here because I know I told you when we were drinking, but I'll tell you when we're on the radio.
Yeah, man.
I do think you did a great job, and you're doing a great job with this stuff. I think you do your best to stay on top of it in a crazy busy world, and that's not easy. We've seen people fail at this before, so appreciate what you do.
Well, thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Yep.
Thank you so much. Well, so I just want to say one more time, I'm actively looking for a replacement.
I tried to get you Taylor, man. The friggin' dude wouldn't listen to me. He doesn't listen to me. I'm like, Taylor, this is tailor made for Taylor.
He reached out to me and told me what was going on.
Oh, he's so full of shit.
That's cool.
Mark, you're a liar. Liar. You could do this in a minute. Dude, you know what it is? He's got his iPad in one hand and his freaking crank in the other, and you know what he's doing. He ain't got a job.
I'm not here to judge, bro.
All righty, man. I'm gonna do the music, and I'll just stay on the line a second, Tim. I'll say goodbye after, but I'm going to do the outro music now. Guys, thanks for listening. Thanks for sharing. Go see the association page and get your raffle tickets. And thank you to everybody out there who's been reaching out, going on the app. Thanks, guys, for responding on the app. Drop me a note, man, on the app. Even if it's something small, a little like, hey, dude, shut up. You know, whatever. I don't care what you tell me. I'm not listening anyway. But go ahead and make a post. All righty, I'm out of here.